The Island Digest is a sampling of the stories in this week's Journal of the San Juans, Islands Sounder, and Islands Weekly, which are on newsstands now. The April 24th edition is brought to you by Orcas Center. I'm Caleb Summers. Headlines from the week of April 24th, 2024. A busy summer takes flight. Town upholds notice of water violation. Hospital gowns donated. Search for missing kayakers. San Juan man sentenced to prison for sexual exploitation of a minor. Plus choice excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. First, from the Islands Sounder, a busy summer takes flight. The Air Hawks Flying Club and the Orcas Aviation Association, OAA, are looking at a very busy summer of flight training and mercy flights. 4 Air Hawks students who started their flight training last year are just completing their final qualification training flights, studying and preparing for their examinations to obtain their private pilot license, PPL. 6 more students have just begun their flight training, and 3 PPL-qualified individuals are working toward their next goal, to become instrument-rated pilots. Everyone starts training in the simulator, obtained with a grant from the Orcas Island Community Foundation, to learn basic maneuvers, procedures, terminology, and operating in a 3-dimensional environment. All flights are conducted with a certified flight instructor until the student has successfully completed their knowledge via a written test and demonstrated they can successfully and consistently fly all the basic maneuvers, as well as operate safely within different classes of airspace. Once proven, they qualify for a milestone event in their life, their first solo flight. This is followed by additional training and solo flights to build competence and experience before the FAA oral exam and check ride leading to the private pilot license. Most of the new pilots have committed to participate in OAA's Mercy Flight program to fly patients and family members to mainland hospitals and specialist appointments at no cost. Mercy flights increase in the summer months when more residents and guests are on the island. Some of the pilots have full-time jobs or other commitments, so a sizable pool of qualified pilots is needed to meet the demand. Air Hawks is doing even more. It is conducting free training classes open to any pilot in the form of Sunday evening study sessions to keep everyone up to date, learn techniques, and have lively discussions about a multitude of subjects, all to keep everyone up to date and to operate correctly in the airspace above us. Additional special training sessions will be conducted on May 14, 15, 17, and 18th to prepare pilots for the written and oral examinations, and May 31st and June 1st for the instrument knowledge test. Of course, Air Hawks and OAA members will be at the airport directing traffic and maintaining safe conditions during the annual EAA fly-in the weekend of August 3rd. An annual barbecue will be held on August 10th for all Orcas pilots and their families. Additionally, members of the Air Hawks board have been actively working with the community to address aircraft noise issues and to establish voluntary flight patterns to and from East Sound Airport that minimize noise to island residents. Information and details about Air Hawks and OAA, learning to fly, mercy flights, etc., can be found on the Air Hawks website, airhawks.org. From the Journal of the San Juan Islands, Town upholds notice of water violation. The Town Council issued a unanimous decision April 18th to uphold the notice of water usage violation at the San Juan County Fair. "This issue has been building for some time, and I have given it a lot of thought," Councilmember Barbara Starr said, beginning the discussion, adding that there has been a persistent behavior on the part of the county to ignore the town's concerns. That over the years, as Councilmember Starr said, she has been witness to 3 town administrators have all reported the same experience. We need to get this issue under control. She added that the town is very supportive of the fair and Island Rec, the town's water assets come first, and that all counties across Washington have been declared in drought. We want more than anything to resolve these issues. I want to work with you, but I don't want the needs of the townspeople to be put on the back burner, Starr concluded. A recent press release from the town cited the fairgrounds as being the 25th highest non-residential water user last year. More than many hotels in town, most restaurants, a commercial laundry, a self-serve laundromat, a grocery store, the car wash, the elementary school, Shipyard Cove Marina, and Jensen Shipyard, to name a few. Councilmember Mason Turnage agreed with Starr and stated that he believes that the town code was correctly interpreted and that with drought conditions, water usage needs to be carefully considered. We need to protect the town's resources for town purposes, Councilmember Anna Maria de Freitas said, also concurring with Starr. Steve Hushabek expressed sympathy for the county but pointed to three options provided by Kulseth in a memo to the county as possible solutions. Those options were for the fairgrounds to be annexed into the town, to only use water during the fair, or to drill a well and no longer use town water. Town Administrator Denise Kulseth told the Journal later that while she understands there are costs involved with the three options, the fairgrounds, the fair, and county parks were specifically designated as three of the 12 recipients of permanent funding upon passage of the county's levy lid lift that went to the voters in November 2019 and took effect in 2020. The FAQ explaining Proposition 2, available on the county's website, said this: in 2009, the voters of San Juan County approved an increase, levy lid lift, in the current expense property tax levy to provide financial support for a host of programs and services for a period of 6 years, 2010 to 2015. In 2014, the voters approved a levy lid lift for another 6 years, 2015 to 2020, to fund the same set of programs and services. Proposition 2 is a continuation of levy lid lift that has now been in place for 10 years. Proposition 2, if passed, would continue the financial support for the same programs and services with an increase in the amount collected to account for the increased cost of providing programs and services. Unlike the prior two voter-approved levy increases, Proposition 2 does not state an end date. It would be in place until a new proposition is submitted to the voters, Kulseth noted, adding that voters approved permanent funding to provide stability for these important programs, so resources should be available. A motion was made by Hushabek that the council uphold the notice of violation. That motion was passed unanimously. After it was pointed out that a findings of facts and conclusions of law and decision should be made, another motion was made and passed, directing staff to draft them. San Juan County Fair Director Brandon Andrews requested during public access that the notice be extended 2 months in order for the county to prepare. After the meeting, Andrews told the Journal, "We look forward to finding a solution at the fairgrounds that protects the town of Friday Harbor Municipal Water System, allows for future water system planning, and maintains the multi-use spirit of events that occur year-round since the creation of the fairgrounds 100 years ago." From the Islands Weekly, Hospital Gowns Donated. The Enchanted Quilters have made over 50 hospital gowns, which they will donate to the Katherine Washburn Medical Association, who will then transfer them to the clinic personnel in the CWMA-owned building. The colorful fabric was donated by many members of the Lopez community. A free, publicly available gown pattern was used, which was sized to adults, small, medium, and large, and children's. The quilters of Lopez cut out, sewed, and sewed ties on the gowns. These will be used for patient services at the Lopez Clinic. The idea for this project came from Ingrid Stoiver, a member of the Enchanted Quilters. The colorful gowns were presented to the CWMA on Wednesday, April 17th, at Woodman Hall on Lopez Island. Search for Missing Kayakers by Heather Spaulding. Two kayakers, Daniel McAlpine, age 36, and Nicholas West, age 26, were last known to be kayaking from Darcy Island to Island View, each at 2:15 p.m. April 20th, according to an alert by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Their kayak, described as teal-blue fiberglass, two-person vessel, was discovered off the southwest corner of Henry Island, approximately 3 miles from Darcy. The San Juan County Sheriff's Office was contacted by the Canadian Coast Guard early April 21st, according to a press release by the Sheriff's Office, notifying them that the Canadian Coast Guard was conducting a search for two missing Canadian kayakers. The press release added that around 11:30 a.m., the San Juan County Sheriff's Office was informed that the Canadian Coast Guard had located the kayak on the southwest corner of Henry Island, but had not yet located the kayakers. The Canadian Coast Guard asked if it would be possible for the Sheriff's Office to assist by sending a boat out to Henry Island area to help with the search. The Sheriff's Office sent a sergeant and two deputies on their boat, along with a drone, to search the area requested. At 8 p.m., April 21st, the Sheriff's Office updated their statement, saying, "Personnel from the San Juan County Sheriff's Office used the Sheriff's boat and drone to search the areas along the west side of Henry Island around to the south side in open bay where the kayak was recovered. The drone was deployed and searched around Stewart Island," the statement continued, "and searched around Spiden Island as well, but were unable to locate any sign of the missing kayakers. Canadian authorities were contacted and updated with the results of our efforts to search for the missing kayakers. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the kayakers and their families, and are hopeful that they are located and found," Sheriff Eric Peter said. San Juan man sentenced to prison for sexual exploitation of a minor, by Colleen Smith Summers. Tanner John Miller, 26, of Friday Harbor, has been sentenced to 46 months in prison for 2 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor. After his release, he will be in community custody for 3 years and must register as a sex offender. Miller was accused of sexually assaulting a teenager and charged in August 2023 with rape in the second degree, incapable of consent, rape in the third degree, no consent, and possessing depictions of a minor engaged in sexually explicit conduct. He initially pleaded not guilty. In February 2024, he changed his plea to guilty and signed a plea deal. The standard sentencing range is 46 to 61 months for sexual exploitation of a minor. After the Department of Corrections conducted pre-sentencing interviews with the defendant, victim and law enforcement, it supported the state's standard sentencing and recommended Miller obtain chemical dependency, mental health, and psychosexual evaluations and comply with recommended service, pay all legal financial obligations determined by the court, have no contact with the victim for 10 years, and register as a sex offender. According to the DOC, Miller submitted the following: "Instead of making a statement, I agree that the court may review the police reports and/or a statement of probable cause supplied by the prosecution to establish a factual basis for the plea." The DOC spoke by video conference with the victim about the impacts of the crime on her life. "She has been participating in weekly counseling and is on antidepressants and antipsychotic medication to manage her stress, anxiety, and depression. According to the report, the victim missed a significant amount of school, which she believes is directly related to the case. She described prior enjoyment for school and friends, but after reporting the assaults, felt isolated and depressed. She said rumors were being spread at school, which resulted in her losing her friends and checking out. She noted thoughts of suicide during this time and mentioned self-harm occurrences. When asked if she'd like to say anything to Miller, the victim stated, 'I wish you could understand just how wrong it was. I was 16 years old, and you treated me as a doll. The trauma, abuse, and shame you inflicted will take longer than your sentence. Even if you thought you loved me, it was wrong.'" For more information and details of the case, please refer to the print edition in the Islands Sounder newspaper or online. And now, choice excerpts from the San Juan County Sheriff's log. On April 10th, a small number of bones were found on a San Juan beach and turned in to the sheriff's office. It was unclear if they were human remains. Photos were sent to the state archaeologist for determination, and the bones were packaged and booked into the property room. A deputy on San Juan responded to a report of a buried bag containing bones. Some of the bones were determined to be from a deer. Other bones, however, will require further examination to determine their origin. A deputy on Orcas responded to a citizen assist. The reporting party requested documentation regarding his landlord having denied utility services. On April 12th, an Orcas deputy investigated a case of possible stolen gold coins. There are investigative leads, and the case remains open. A deputy on Orcas responded to a residential burglary complaint. The burglary complaint was determined to be unfounded. The incident involves an ongoing civil issue between a tenant and the property manager. A deputy on Orcas responded to a call regarding an attempt to steal a dog from a vehicle. The incident had occurred a few days prior. The owner was encouraged to report the incident, however, they did not wish to pursue any further legal action. On April 13th, a San Juan deputy was contacted about property found at a local business, a firearm left behind in a restroom. The firearm was turned over to the deputy and entered into evidence. On April 14th, a Friday Harbor part-time resident reported her cabin appeared to have been slept in. They reported nothing missing, no signs of forced entry, and nothing other than her bed disturbed. The cabin is not a vacation rental and cannot be seen from the street. On April 16th, the sheriff's office on San Juan received a report that a resident of an assisted living community was violating the rules. Deputies responded and mediated the situation, and no further action was taken. And this concludes the April 24th edition of the Island Digest. The Island Digest is brought to you by Orcas Center. Orcas Center is your place for fun and intrigue this spring, with live concerts, performances, art openings, and more. To check out upcoming events and purchase tickets, visit orcascenter.org. Thank you for listening to the Island Digest, a small sampling of what's in your local print newspapers this week. The Journal, Sounder, and Weekly rely upon advertising, subscriptions, and donations to support our mission of high-quality community journalism. To contribute, visit our websites or email publisher Colleen Smith Summers at csmith@soundpublishing.com. Thanks for tuning in this week, and come back next week for more local news from San Juan County, Washington. I'm Caleb Summers.